If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Today we are concluding our series on the attributes of God. We've been walking through a number of God's attributes over the past many weeks, couple of months now. This morning we will conclude that time in this series on the faithfulness of God. As we've been doing, as the habit has been over the past several weeks, we will be considering a number of passages today, and so be aware of that as we walk through this topic of God's faithfulness. Looking ahead a bit, next Sunday is going to be a special day because we are going to be doing what we're calling Missions Sunday. Missions Sunday next week, and part of that service we're going to be highlighting some of our mission and ministry partners locally, globally, and so we're excited about that, to be able to draw attention to a lot of the good work that our brothers and sisters are doing here throughout the nation and throughout the world. And so Mission Sunday, I encourage you to be here for that. Hope that it's going to be a time of encouragement as we consider the nations and what God's doing among the nations and our role in it as gospel partners together. So that's next Sunday, and then we'll be right into Advent. We'll be walking through a series for Advent through the, not the book, but the first chapter of John in his gospel. And so that's what's coming up as we look forward to what the Lord has for us. This morning, though, Psalm 89 is where we'll begin, thinking about the faithfulness of God. This is God's word. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for how you have given it to us as a gift to instruct us, to change us, to teach us. Lord, as we consider passages like these this morning that address this topic of your faithfulness, we pray for your Holy Spirit to give us help, to give us understanding, and to show us, Lord, how this truth impacts us in ways that we can be encouraged by. So, Lord, we ask for your guidance now as we consider your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had something fail you just at the wrong moment? Maybe you're heading out on a trip, got the car loaded, ready to pull out of the driveway. Lo and behold, you have a flat tire. Maybe you're getting ready for that Zoom meeting and all of a sudden the Wi-Fi is no longer anywhere to be found. Maybe it's been something even more weighty. A sudden job loss. A wayward child. Maybe your body showing signs of deterioration. We all know what it's like to have something go amiss, to go wrong. And there are many things in life that we rely on every day that at some point will prove unreliable. This past week, we know that we had the midterm elections, and it's a great privilege we have to vote and make our voice known. But no matter how many promises your favorite politicians make, he or she will disappoint you. Life is filled with examples, even daily ones, of things that prove inconsistent and ever-changing. Well, I have some good news for you this morning. That despite the world's inconsistencies, despite the unreliable nature of some of the things we depend upon in a given day, the disappointments that we face, The good news that we can be encouraged by this morning is that that will never be the case with God.
Amen.
He always proves reliable. God is always trustworthy and faithful. The opening lines here of Psalm 89, the psalmist highlights the faithfulness of God. In fact, four times in these eight verses, we see him describe God as faithful. This meaning of faithfulness simply means firm, steadfast, steady, stable, reliable. That's who God is. And that's what we want to consider this morning as we think about the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God means God always does what he says, and God can always be trusted. As we explore together this morning the faithfulness of God, I want us to consider several realities that hopefully will help us understand the faithfulness of God all the more, and as a result, give us encouragement, give us strength, give us hope in a world that is often not faithful. Let's consider these things, these truths about the faithfulness of God. First of all, we want to consider how the faithfulness of God is unfailing. As I've already mentioned, God can always be trusted. But I think we need to see that from several examples in the biblical text. Three ways that we see here, that we can see, and we can see more, but we're going to look at least three of how God's unfailing faithfulness is upheld throughout. We see how God, first of all, is faithful to his own name. In Psalm 106, verse 8, Psalmist says, both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea. Yet, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. You see how the Lord there, despite how rebellious and wicked the people had gone, continues to be faithful to his covenant promises to his people. And ultimately, the scripture says that he does so for his name's sake. He's faithful to his own name. He understands that his own reputation is at stake in all he does, and he's faithful to uphold his name. I mean, we know how that works, don't we? We know how you associate something with someone, right? With someone's name or a name of a company. All I have to do is say Chaptico, and you understand Great Fried Chicken, right? They uphold quality. You understand that that name alone means greatness. The same is true with God's name. He upholds his name. Everything he does in accordance with his own name. He knows his reputation is at stake, and he knows he will be faithful to not profane his own name. He sees to it that he does not. As we see throughout the scripture, the various names of God are given to us, and they all often point to his different attributes. And we know that God will never act in a way that compromises any of those names. He's faithful to uphold his name in all he does. Not only is he faithful to his name, he's faithful to his own character. He's faithful to his character. We saw this passage a few weeks ago in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, where it says, the rock, his way is perfect, for all his works are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Again, everything God does is consistent with his righteous and just character. We've seen throughout these past weeks of how God is described as holy, unchangeable, all-knowing, all-powerful, good, righteous, merciful, sovereign. And what we understand when we describe God as faithfulness, and as the scripture describes God as faithful, is that he's faithful in all these things. You will never see God diminish in any of these. God will never be unrighteous. God will never not be in control of all things, working all things to the counsel of his own will. God will never not know all there is to know. Did I say that right? Like he's going to always know everything. He's faithful in his knowledge. I mean, this is what we understand, how God is faithful to his own character. He always acts in accordance with his attributes. Not only is he faithful to his character, he's faithful to his word. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, the prophet says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. God acts always faithfully in accordance with what he has planned and spoken from of old. We're not like that, are we? Even with our best intentions, we fall short. We can't always be dependable. And there will be times where all of us fall short to keep our word. But God is not that way. He is faithful in that he keeps his every word. We see this especially fleshed out throughout the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, where God makes a promise to Abraham to bless all the nations through him, to have a people for himself, and to give them a land. He makes a covenant with them and promises them these things. And there are countless times throughout the Old Testament, countless times when Israel, they don't live up to their end of the deal, do they? They don't live up to their part of the covenant, and they rebelliously turn their backs on the Lord. And you think, like if you just pick up the Bible and you start reading for the first time and you don't know the story already, and you're thinking, well, this surely is going to be it for them. Yet God is faithful to his covenant. Faithful. We see that in Psalm 89. That's exactly what this psalm is recounting. He's faithful to his covenant. And we saw that there in the first 8 verses. But if you pick up in verse 24 of Psalm 89, it says, my faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him. Speaking of David. He's calling out there just the reminder of his servant David and how he called David to be part of this great kingdom and this great work that he's doing. And he set his king there, and he made promises to David that he will always have a son, and or that there will be a son that comes through him, and he will always have one on the throne. My faithfulness in verse 24, and steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law, get this, if his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Amen. God is faithful to his word. His faithfulness is unfailing. Number two, this is similar but a little different. His faithfulness is enduring. His faithfulness is enduring. It's a lasting reality. God will never tire of being faithful. Psalm 119 verse 90. The psalmist recounts this and just simply says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it stands fast. You and I know what it's like to grow weary, don't you? Grow weary in daily responsibilities and a job. You get tired. Sometimes you get bored. But God never tires. He never gets bored in fulfilling his faithfulness. The scripture says his faithfulness will be made known to all generations, and his faithfulness endures to all generations. And brothers and sisters, the faithfulness of God was not simply something Israel got to enjoy and we don't. It's something that extends to all of God's people. The point is simple. God has always and will always prove dependable and reliable. Even in the midst of obstinate, rebellious people, as we see displayed for us throughout the Old Testament, even in our own hearts, God endures in his faithfulness. I love the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul there, as he's writing to Timothy, he's recounting several things. If we do this, then that. And he just simply has one line in there. And he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? He goes on to say, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? He can't deny himself. Why? Because he's faithful. He's true. He's dependable. He's reliable. I want you to consider two things about God's enduring faithfulness. First of all, we see this as a great hope. We know that the greatest testament to God's enduring faithfulness is seen in the coming of Jesus into the world. From the promise made in Genesis 3:15. To Jesus' birth, the promise of a seed, to Jesus' birth in Bethlehem in the New Testament, we see God's enduring faithfulness on display. And friends, that ought to encourage you because it shows us just how committed God is to his own faithfulness. Looking back upon his enduring faithfulness ought to strengthen our own faith and our hope in the present and for the future. The entire grand narrative of Scripture is a testimony to the faithfulness, to the enduring faithfulness of God. Or you could write that on there. I mean, it's not inspired, so it says Holy Bible, but you could just put testimony to the enduring faithfulness of God. That's what this is. It's a testimony to that. And friends, that's good news. If you belong to him. If you've been adopted as a child of God, if you've understood your sin and God's holiness, if you've understood that the way for you to be reconciled to God is through the finished work of Jesus Christ, where God sends his own Son into the world to be the righteousness you couldn't maintain and yet die a death you deserve to die and die as your substitute, as a sacrifice on the cross to bear your penalty and sin. If you've understood that and you've given your life to that and you've hoped in that, the good news is that God will never change his mind in regard to you, ever. He will never write you off. He will never leave you or forsake you. God will never quit or give up on you. And that is encouraging because God is faithful. He's faithful to his children. This should be a great hope for us. But friends, it should also serve for us as a warning. God's faithfulness is great news. But if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, it's terrifying news. Because God is faithful, that also means he's faithful in everything, even in judgment. He will be faithful in how he holds sinners accountable to his righteous standard. And so, friends, you need to understand that if you choose to remain in your sin, God is faithful. And he will hold you accountable, and he will judge you in the end, for he cannot deny himself. He will judge you, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've not had your sins forgiven, you will face an eternity of judgment apart from God, because he's faithful to his own character, and he cannot tolerate sin. But again, friends, the good news is that God has provided for us all that we need to experience his enduring faithfulness and to experience that in a joyful, eternal way through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That if we would simply yield in faith to him, and turn to him, to believe in him, our sin would be forgiven, we would be adopted as children, we would be welcomed into the family and kingdom of God, and that we would have hope for eternity because God is faithful. He's faithful, and he's faithful to his word. So we can have that. We see it both as a hope and a warning. But then lastly, I want you to consider how God's faithfulness is assuring. And this is where I wanted to spend maybe the bulk of our time as we continue. His faithfulness is assuring. The main impact of God's faithfulness is how it shapes and strengthens and gives hope and comfort. There's something incredibly comforting about the fact that God is always faithful. I want us to consider at least three of these. How is God's faithfulness assuring? First of all, it's assuring because every promise he makes will hold. The main impact of God's faithfulness we see is assuring, and we see that in how every promise he makes will hold. Again, how many times have we made promises before, and we've been, for one reason or another, been unable to keep it? Maybe with good intention, but traffic, flight delay, something out of our control just impacts us, and we can't keep our promise. There's many things that impact that. We know that does. It impacts every one of us. But the truth is, friends, that nothing can keep God from keeping his promises. A.W. Pink wrote this. He said about God and his faithfulness, he never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. To every declaration of promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. Every engagement of covenant or threatening, he will make good, for God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will not he do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God is a promise keeper. He is the only promise keeper. Let's consider several just examples. He's promised to give us abundant life. In John chapter 10, we see that. Jesus says there about the thief. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's a promise. He doesn't just say, I came that they have life and it might be abundant. No, he says that they may have it and have it abundantly. It's a promise that he gives us. We know that God's promised to give wisdom in James 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, and it will be given. If you truly, earnestly seek God for wisdom, he's going to give you wisdom. It's a promise that he makes us. His promise to forgive. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins and acknowledge our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a promise keeper. All of these promises and countless others God will uphold. He never forgets, he never fails, he never falters, he never forfeits his word. He keeps his promises. A second truth that could be counted as a promise, but I broke it out separate. Every person he saves will be kept. God's faithfulness in saving sinners is something we need not and cannot overlook. The security of the believer is one of the great promises we have in the Bible. And the reason we remain secure in Christ is ultimately and finally due to the fact that God is faithful. He is faithful. Not only is he faithful in supplying all we need for salvation, he is faithful in keeping us firm to the end. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24, Paul there says to the church at Thessalonica, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God's preserving faithfulness is something that ought to anchor us and overwhelm us with joy and delight and confidence. God does not say, trust in Jesus, find forgiveness, and do the best you can to stay a Christian. Be terrible, wouldn't it? What a lot of Christians believe. He doesn't say that. He does tell us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's many calls to trusting and putting off and putting on and obedience and those kinds of things. But ultimately, he promises that he himself will keep us. Back in John chapter 10, Jesus continued there in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. You don't give yourself eternal life. He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Security, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And Jude said at the end of his brief letter, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the one who keeps us. Every person Jesus saves, he keeps to the end. Amen. Number three, every provision we need, he supplies. Earlier we sang, great is thy faithfulness. It's a timeless reminder of God's providential care in our lives. And that verse where we sing, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. And then he says, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Everything you need, God supplies. In the Sermon on the Mount, we know that Jesus reminds his disciples of his provision and how they can trust him, how they need not grow anxious, there in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Then he says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God knows all your needs. He cares about your needs. Friends, if he cares about the smaller things of sparrows, little birds, and lilies, little flowers, he cares about you even more so. That's the point of what Jesus is saying. Don't be anxious, but understand how God is faithful to give you what you need. He supplies that. Several things he provides we see in addition to this. One, he provides us refuge. He provides us refuge. In Psalm 91, we see this. Psalm 91. Psalmist says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. There the psalmist is reminding us that it is the faithfulness of God that serves for us as a refuge in times of trouble. It doesn't mean that we will be freed from trouble in this world or in this life, but in the midst of trouble, God is our safe place. He He will comfort, he will hold, he will keep, he will secure, he will provide for you. All that you need, he serves as a refuge in the midst of those troubling times. Very similar to that is another thing. God provides protection. He provides protection. And again, we're not saying that we will be kept from harm or those kinds of things in this life. We know that there's things that we experience. But God has promised protection. Ultimately, he's promised to guard us against the evil one. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. There we see how Paul is depending upon the protection of God's own faithfulness in protecting them against the evil one. Again, we affirmed that through song earlier, didn't we? Mighty fortress. That verse that says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. Why? For God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. His rage we can endure. Notice Luther understood he had right theology here. He said, his rage we can endure, not escape. We can endure it. We can face it head on because his doom is certain. One word, and he's done. Again, it's not promised. God is not promising us ease in this world or that we would somehow escape the battle of this life, the spiritual warfare that exists. He's promised, though, that he will ensure us safe passage, protection through these experiences. We know there will be spiritual attack. We know that there will be tragedy, physical deterioration, all kinds of things that happen in this world. God's protection does not mean you're going to be escaping these things. His protection is promised to you to get you from this life to the next. He's far more concerned with your conformity to Jesus and your fitness for heaven than he is anything else. And he will be faithful to make sure you get there. He provides protection. Number three, God provides help in times of temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He's faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to, again, there's that endure, that you may be able to endure it. Not escape it, but endure it. So when we're being tested or tempted, we can find certain, this is a certainty. This is not a, it may happen for you, but when you're facing temptation, you can rest with certainty. God's faithful. He's faithful to give you all that you need that you may endure that temptation and honor him. We know temptation to sin is an ongoing battle we all face, and God is faithful to help you in it. When you fall short, when you sin, temptation has won the day. It's not because God is unfaithful. It's not because God has somehow given up on you. It's because you've given up on God. He's faithful, present, to supply you what you need, even in those times of temptation. God is faithful. And number four, God provides confidence. God provides confidence. He gives us a refuge, protection, help. And confidence. Brothers and sisters, I think in our lives as Christians that fear is a great enemy of the believer. And having a settled confidence in the faithfulness of God is critical to persevering in this life. One of the things that I see oftentimes that I think all of us may wrestle with is this fear of death. The psalmist in Psalm 23, you know this verse, many of you, really well. In 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is faithful to give us confidence in this life, in this world, to face anything, even our greatest fear, that of death. Most of you all know the book Pilgrim Progress, written by John Bunyan. If you're not familiar with that book, it's an allegory. It follows the journey of a man named Christian. He's a pilgrim, and as he makes his way there from his home to the celestial city, which is heaven, we know that through that story, his journey is full of all kinds of temptations, danger, and struggles. It's again, a picture of the Christian life, of how we, when we come to trust in Jesus and on our way to heaven, how there's all kinds of struggle. And one of my favorite scenes is there at the end of the book, toward the end, when Christian and his friend Hopeful, they arrive on the shore of a river where they look over and they see the celestial city. They see heaven. And there they are at the river. And the name of that river is the River of Death. They must go through the river to get to the city. They have to die. And there in this scene, this is what Bunyan writes. He said, "Then I saw a river that flowed between Christian and Hopeful and the gate. There was no bridge for crossing over, and the river was really deep. The pilgrims were astonished by the sight of the river, but there were two shining ones standing there saying, 'You must go through it or you cannot approach the gate.' Christian and Hopeful finally resolved to go into the water. Upon entering, however, Christian began to sink, crying out to his good friend Hopeful. He said, 'The engulfing waters threaten me, the deep surrounds me.'" And I think the best line in the entire book comes from Hopeful, where he says, "Cheer up, my brother. I can feel the bottom, and it is firm. These troubles and distresses that you are going through in these waters are no sign that God has forsaken you. They are sent only to see whether you will remember what you have received of his goodness up to this time, and whether you will lean on him in your time of distress." And Hopeful added, "Be of good cheer, for Jesus Christ is making you whole." Immediately, Christian yelled out with a loud voice, "Oh, I see him again. And he tells me, 'When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.' Then both took courage. And after that, the enemy was as still as stone until they had crossed over. Therefore, Christian was able to find ground to stand on. And so it followed that the rest of the river was shallow. And thus they got over." The faithfulness of God is a truth, a certainty that you can cling to even in the face of death. God promises to provide all we need until we get home. And he doesn't just leave you hanging at the end. He's there. He's faithful. He's there to provide for us if we would simply look to him and lean on him and trust in him. Brothers and sisters, this is a great confidence that we have. God gives us confidence, and he demonstrates that by showing himself to be faithful throughout our entire life. This world is filled with disappointment. Many things in this life will prove unreliable. People will let you down. Equipment, technology will fail you just at the right moment. Your car will break down. Your body is and will break down. It's inevitable. But friends, there's one constant in our lives that we can cling to and stake everything on. The one thing, the one reality that will never fail you, never disappoint you, never leave you without, never be inadequate, is the fact that God is faithful. He has loved you, he has promised you, and he will preserve you even till you see him face to face. Why? Because he is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks this morning and praise for who you are. God, what a joy it is to be reminded of your faithfulness and be able to celebrate that together this morning. Father, would you use this word and God, these verses that we've walked through this morning, would you help these to be just foundations for on which we can stand. Promises to cling to. Truths to rely upon. Lord, that we would be reminded in the midst of an unreliable world, an ever-failing world, that you are reliable and that you are never failing. You are always faithful. God, would you give us this truth this morning as an anchor for our souls? Would you help us to hold fast to it, knowing that you hold fast to us and that you keep us firm? God, you are faithful. That is our hope. You are faithful, and we thank you that you are. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.